If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
WGN, Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase Studio in for Dean Richards until 11 o'clock when we go to a live remote for our mighty Blackhawks. But until then, this is a big day. Not only a beautiful day outside, so many great things happening, but also Chef's Week is kicking off here in Chicago. Starts April 17th, that's today, and heads through the 22nd. Dave Hammond, of course, in studio talking about traveling to exotic locations and, of course, so much of what you do. Other than just the exploration, right? As you right, you eat, you drink, you enjoy, and almost no better place on the earth to do that than right here in Chicago. And one of the better places going on is going to be participating in Chef Week is the Betty, and we have Executive Chef Rachel Dow in studio with us. Rachel, welcome to WGN.
Thanks for having me today.
So, it's as a chef in what is America's great food city, you have so many cool things that you get to do and be a part of. But, I mean, can you get excited for Chef Week? Is this something you get up for, or are you just always at a high level when it comes to stuff going on?
And I think the best part about Chef's Week is that we can really kind of share our cuisine with people that maybe haven't been in and have a little bit of different things in a little bit of a smaller format. So you can take a little tour of our menu and split it. You can get some other dishes. So it's really a great opportunity just to have a little taste.
April 17th through the 22nd, over 100 restaurants are participating. Places, of course, like the Betty, but also Vac Blackbird, RPM Italian, a bunch of different places. And what happens during these weeks is you usually get an opportunity for people that maybe have never tried the Betty before to come in and see what. How do you decide what it is to put on there?
I kind of like to feature things that are going to stay on the menu for a little bit. So the croquettes are the first course that we have, which are smoked ham and chicken confit with a Rui dipping sauce. We also have our spiced cauliflower that's been on the menu since day one that people love a whole lot. Then the pork belly carbonara, which, I mean, that's just an easy sell.
That sounds good.
And then, our mini pie, which this year is going to be a cherry limeade meringue pie. So it'll be like a lime meringue, but with some cherry flavor in there, so...
How would you describe the food at the Betty? What is the style or the, how can we fix it in people's minds? What's the category you would put it in if you had to categorize it?
I like to make up my own category, so I call it Global Modern Grandma. So instead of calling it
Well, who doesn't love grandma's food, right?
It's rustic, it's approachable, a lot of familiar flavors, just with maybe a little bit different twist on it. Calling it American food is, I feel... like saying nothing almost. So I just made up my own category.
Global modern grandma.
So comfort food? I mean, kind of. I don't mean to pigeonhole.
Sure.
Or to pigeonhole grandmas, right? Not.
I feel like the word comfort food kind of lends to a heaviness, which I don't. My food, there's a range. There's some light things, there's some rich things. But just delicious, approachable, rustic. We want everyone just to come in, eat and drink and have a good time and, be there with their friends and like our food and leave happy.
So the food, approachable, rustic, the global modern grandma, I absolutely love it, right? It does. I mean, it lends itself to comfort food, but also modern. So your modern stuff that's out there and on the cutting edge there. But so describe the Betty, if you could, the place where you spend so much time. And of course, your fans are. What is it as far as like the ambiance? I know you're over there on Fulton.
It's a very warm space, so a lot of wood and brass, a really nice upholstered couch that people really love and want to come in our lounge area with a large bookcase, a nice bar. It's a really great area. We get a lot of compliments, and I actually kind of forget how nice it is because I go in there every day and someone comes in and compliments us, and your space is so great. I'm like, thank you. 555 did a great job.
So what does a modern global grandma drink
during happy hour?
During happy hour at the Betty.
I mean, as a modern global grandmother, I love an aviation. It's my go-to gin cocktail. But we have a lot of signature cocktails. And then for our happy hour, we always feature a classic cocktail for $8 on our menu. And we have happy hour from 4 to 6:30 Monday through Friday.
we talk about kind of the chef community, the food community, being very communal. You know, all the chefs kind of work together, talk together. And is this an opportunity for, you know, so many people, lots of fans, lots of food fans are going to be able to get to the Betty and over 100 other places during Chef's Week going on? But do you find yourself, you know, getting out to other places during this time of year and checking out some of your friend spots?
I tend to be a little busy, but it is a great opportunity for sure to go out. And we do have a great community here of chefs. So it's great city to work in.
It is. Do you have one more, David?
Well, and the Betty is in a great part of town. I mean, probably the most explosive restaurant area in Chicago now. So
it is definitely blowing up. There's a lot of things going up on that block, a lot of iron workers and interesting things happening with Brooklyn Bowl across the street. Google, it's definitely on the rise for sure.
It's a good time to be in Chicago. Certainly, if you love food, it's a good place to be within Chicago, where you are over there at 839 West Fulton. And of course, for the Betty Fur, people want to get information about everything that you're doing and all the things that are going on, not only for Chef Week but throughout the course. Is there a website for the Betty? Of course, right?
Absolutely. Our website is thebettychicago.com, and we have our menu. Links if you want to make a reservation. Also, any events that we have are available on our website.
It's exciting times. Dave, where are you going to go for Chef Week? You got any?
With the Betty. Where else?
Oh, nice. Yeah, very nice.
Of course.
So for those people that want to do something every day of the week, the Betty can certainly be one of those. ChicagoChefWeek.com is the website. Everybody's going to enjoy it. Get out there and, of course, see Rachel over there at the Betty as well. Rachel, thanks for being at WGN.
Thanks so much for having me today.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. It is Dane Neal in for Dean Richards, who is in Hawaii, we have found out through our global positioning. He has been in Hawaii. Oh, great. He may not necessarily technically be.
He left a trail there.
Yeah, absolutely. There's evidence of Dean in Hawaii, and we'll be back on 720 WGN. Dane Neal in the Allstate Showcase studio on a beautiful day in for Dean Richards until 11 when we go to a live remote for the Mighty Blackhawks. Dave Hammond of New City to my right as well.
Hello.
And we talk about the great food in Chicago, and it has to come from somewhere. Oftentimes it comes from our great farmers markets and French markets that are just kicking off all around Chicago. And as we speak and on the line with us, person who has her hand on the pulse of so much of that, it is the one and only Leslie Kale. Leslie, welcome to WGN.
Thank you for having me, Dane. You're right. It's a beautiful day out.
It is. I mean, and there's been days where, you know, we've all experienced the farmers markets, the French markets on days that were less than beautiful this time of year. But this is a can't miss.
Well, yes. And it's really kind of an amazing weekend for me and for the French markets, because we opened up our season this weekend with the Wheaton French Market opening up yesterday. And it is the 20th anniversary, 20th season of the Wheaton French Market. It was
Wow.
a beautiful day yesterday. And today I'm getting ready to head out to Geneva French Market, which is located on the Metro parking lot out there in Geneva at South and 4th Street. And we're going to have another great day out there today.
It is great. So a couple of these markets start a little bit sooner. You've got Wheaton and Geneva, but there are markets all around the Chicagoland area from north, west, and south that are all part of the French Market. So talk about those and kind of when they're going to be gearing up as we move forward.
Sure thing. Well, this year we have 12 outdoor markets that we're operating, and I've already told you about Wheaton Geneva this weekend. Next weekend we'll be opening up the Wilmette French Market at the Metro train station up in Wilmette, and also the Nettlehorst French Market at Nettlehorst School in downtown Chicago. The first week of May we'll be opening up our market in Villa Park and also in Western Springs. Villa Park's a Sunday market. Western Springs is a Thursday market. And then on Saturday we'll open up the Lyle French Market. And then we wait until June to continue opening up our markets with Glen Ellen Market on June 5th. We'll have a market in Vernon Hills on June 11th. And we're happy to be returning to Glencoe on June 11th as well. And then Bensonville, we have a really fun evening market there. It's a Wednesday market beginning June 15th. And it's about 12 weeks. We're partnering with Bensonville and their concert series. They get some of the best acts in the Midwest to come out. And all of those markets, you can find the information at bensonuneusa.com.
Yep.
Find out the locations and the hours.
Yeah. One thing I love about it, and of course, great farmers markets all around the city and suburbs. But with the French markets, you guys do typically have entertainment kind of built in.
Well, yeah, we do. The vendors are very entertaining. And, you know, with the French market, we have to talk a little bit about the fact that we have the heart of a farmer's market, all these markets. But we also have a lot of artisan crafters. We have people that source products from around the world. You might get some linens from Provence at the market. You'll see wood carving, artisan crafted jewelry and clothing. We do have some musical entertainment at all these markets. It's fun to hear the local talent come out and play. So it's really a family event. It's you're going to go there, you're going to spend a while. You could spend an hour at the market just enjoying the people, enjoying the vendors, and enjoying some music.
Yeah, it's great. It's one of the things that we all look forward to throughout the course of the summer. It's great to have it gearing up. One more time with the website before we let you go.
www.bensoudunusa.com.
Leslie Kale, thanks so much for being in WGN today.
Thanks, Dane. Have a great day.
All right. So that, I mean, and when you think about farmers markets, Leslie mentioned the heart of a farmer's market, the Oak Park Market, of course, that's your hometown.
It isn't
Chiang Mai. Right. And then they've got a market that's been going on. So many have been more recent. Leslie mentioned 20 years for the Wheaton one. But Oak Park, gosh, that's got to be 30 plus years.
Well, it might be 25 to 30. Yeah. And I go there every Saturday in the summer, sometimes to buy food, but sometimes just to hang around. You know, I mean, to see what's growing, what vegetables are coming up, what they look like, talk to the farmers. I usually buy a little something, but I just like the vibe of it's kind of like a town square feeling. You know, I mean, I see a lot of neighbors there. We talk about the food.
A little bit later on in the week, we are going to be able to talk with Yesenia Moda from the Chicago markets here in the city of Chicago with D-Case. And she had said, too, that that is something that you kind of have to kind of build in. And it's an individual basis where, you know, some of the markets are more like grocery stores. People come in, they quickly buy what it is that they need, and they get out. And some of them, you do kind of hang out like you do and enjoy the vibe.
I tell you, if I don't have time, I go disguised so that neighbors won't recognize
what?
Me. I do. Wear like, you know, a cap like yours, which I hardly ever wear, baseball cap, okay. Sunglasses, and I move fast. I don't have time to be recognized because usually I'll stop and talk for, you know, half an hour to people that I meet there, other neighbors who are buying food and stuff. So, yeah, if I don't have the time to chat, I have to go incognito.
312-981-7200 throughout the course of the program, and because of David's inspiration and the whole idea of getting out there, taking yourself away from beloved Chicago and Oak Park and moving to a far exotic place. But oftentimes as you travel, it's food related, whether you're traveling incognito down the street to the market or whether you're a world away in Thailand. So let's talk a little bit about the foods that you experience there. Thai food is hot. It's so hot right now. But out there, like, what were the differences that people experienced right there?
What I was most interested in, and this is kind of pulling through the produce theme we were just talking about at the farmers markets, is the incredible range of fruit and vegetable that is simply not available in the United States. It's stuff that you won't see here for a number of reasons. We found...
Because you, and I remember, and of course, mm-hmm. fans of David, and just check out his Facebook page, if I don't know if you can do that, but you were posting things that I had never seen before.
Right. Yeah, that was like snake fruit, for instance. It's fruit that actually has like a...
A snake flavor?
Yes. It's the delicious like flavor of snake in a fruit. No, it's like a little magenta-colored, scaly-looking, almost looks like a little lemon or something. But it's cut like bluish-red with scales on. Delicious flavor inside. It's got like a... Juicy fruit, the only analogy I think of is like juicy fruit gum, but not as like sickeningly sweet.
Wow.
I mean, just kind of like a light, juicy, fruity flavor. I'd never had it before, so that was like awesome. We were walking in the Bangkok market one morning. We'd stayed in this Airbnb in Bangkok, looked out the window, and a market had formed like overnight. These people had just, and I'm guessing it happens like every third Wednesday or something, but every Wednesday.
So there's a schedule somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere, probably. And we saw these cool little... clusters of BB-sized green globes. It looked a little like caviar or roe or...
But it was a plant, right?
It was a plant. So I thought, what in the world is that? So I asked the lady, I said, what is this? And she asked her in English, and she said, salad. And I said, it's salad?
And she anything said, green is salad.
Yeah, exactly, right. And I think you do kind of eat it like a salad. So I posted it on Facebook. I said, does anybody know what the hell this is? And Sarah Lynn Pablo, who runs a site called Filipino Kitchen, said, yes, those are sea grapes. I wrote about them like 3 years ago, and she sent me a link to her site. Nice. And they're like, they grow in the water. They are in like swampy areas. They were so good. I mean, they had like little bursts of slightly gooey flavor, kind of like a cross between watercress or cucumber, something like that. Really fresh, delicious flavor. Never saw it in the United States. Very difficult to get here because it's very perishable. It's like seaweed. You know, it comes out of the water. You can't dry it like nori. Another interesting food we had, and this makes some people go like, oh, my God, do you eat that? We were at a place in Chiang Mai. It was actually a restaurant. We ate most of our meals on the street. Incredibly inexpensive, interestingly.
The street food, of course, is something that gets a lot of attention. But is that the way the locals
eat
mostly?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. In fact, it's very rare that you'll find a stove or a range in a Thai home simply because they eat it. It's A, hot as hell.
Right.
It's expensive to run that, and they don't need it because a lot of the food they're eating fresh. Either they buy at the market and prepare it at home, or they eat on the street. Now, my daughter ate on the street pretty much three meals a day, and if she spent more than $1 per meal, that was a lot.
One of the callers had mentioned in India that they looked at when they would come into a place, they would see how many flies were there and decide that was how they were going to rate the restaurant or the capability. Now, so much
as fresh, I like flies as much as anybody, but I'm not going to
well, I know in some
choose a restaurant based on the number they fly, may have. I'm lucky probably, enough to have.
There's probably a fly food truck, you know, out there. But when you're there and everything is so open air, right, and there just aren't a lot of, whether it's the modern conveniences of preservation, were there concerns or is everything just so fresh it doesn't matter?
If I'm eating at a street stand, I try to get everything like right off the grill, like just cooked, hasn't been sitting around a while, like a fish. You could buy like whole fish. In fact, I have had one on a stick the first night. They like stuck a stick. It's like eating like a corn on the cob, but it was a fish.
fish on a stick. Okay.
And I would say that there were very few restaurants or street vendors we visited in Thailand. And this is going to sound like a put-down, but it is not. Very few that we visited that probably would have passed a health department inspection in Chicago. That said, I think perhaps some of our health rules are a little bit overboard.
Now, was it from a facility standpoint? Like they didn't have adequate refrigeration or something?
That would be hard to judge. What was easier to judge was, what was the running water in the bathroom? Was there soap in the bathroom?
Oh, okay.
None of us got sick. We were there for 2.5 weeks eating street food, eating in a restaurant a few times. All of us came out of it just fine and ran into some incredibly wonderful and delicious foods, like fermented pork. That's the reaction I get. This is uncooked pork. And we had this in a restaurant. This wasn't
Well, maybe food. It just needs like a marketing company to come in and give it like a palatable name.
Energy saving pork. You don't have to waste, you know, gas cooking your ground pork.
Right.
My wife and daughter looked at it and said, like, we're not eating that. But I had seconds. You know, I thought, I'm going to just trust it. I'm just going to throw caution to the winds, but trust that if people eat this in this part of the world.
And they're okay. And they enjoy it.
Assume. I will give it a try.
Well, is there anything, before we're going to go break in just a second, and remember, 312-981-7200, still a couple seconds to get in on our prize package. Anybody that weighed in with their thoughts on where they would like to go or where they have been in the world as far as getting out there, having a career, leaving it all behind, you can still do that, 312-981-7200. After the break, we're going to announce our winner. But, David, is there
anything I didn't eat?
No. Is there anything that you saw? Because there are things that happen. I remember when there was a Mexican restaurant called Chi-Chi's that had very little to do with really good, authentic Mexican food. And as things become more diverse and more authentic here, is there anything you saw there that said, like, this would be a big hit back home?
Oh, good question. Yeah, food that would be a lot of the food we saw in restaurants was very similar to the food you'll find in a Chicago Thai restaurant.
Okay.
Now, if anyone could find a way to grow rose apples, which are these cool little fruits that are, they're shaped like a pear, they're colored rose, and they're fantastic. I mean, the exotic Thai produce that we saw there, stuff that I've never seen in Chicago, I got to believe there are places in Texas or Florida or California where they could cultivate some of this stuff. And I would bet that in the years to come, they're going to be bringing seedlings and planting them because Americans want to try food from other countries, want to try new stuff.
Just as you were excited and so many people who follow what it is that you do are excited as well, I think there's a market. There's an audience for it. We're going to take a quick break when we come back. Going to wrap it all up and also give away our winner. It's Dane Neal in for Dean Richards here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. WGN. Jen Daniel in the Allstate Showcase studio. And, of course, want to mention, say thanks to everybody who participated in the program. Thanks to Dave Hammond, to my right.
Thank you, Dave.
Great job giving us insight into Thailand. And Richard from Australia is the winner of the Lou Malnati's gift certificate. And enjoy that anytime you want. Take it to Thailand with you. You have one quick thing?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that coming up near the end of the year, the Thai Consulate in Chicago is going to be holding the Thai Festival, Thai Restaurant Week, and Eat Like a Real Thai, which I'll be hosting.
And big thanks to Dean Richards for all that he does and for having us in today. Dave, one more time with the website for where people can read and keep up with you.
Newcity.com.